Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are talking about Psalm 23, and I am joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by kids pastor Scarlett Kioski. Scarlett, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And he's back, lead pastor Jose Abaroa. Jose, 10 weeks and you're back. It's good to have you.
Really glad to be back. It's good to be with you guys.
I know the Conversations Podcast was like the biggest thing you were looking forward to.
Top three, big time, for sure.
It's good to have you back. Jose, there's so much. We just capped off a series, a 10-week series, just looking at the one another's in Scripture, and then you're coming back from sabbatical. Would love to hear kind of, again, you shared a lot on Sunday about what God taught you over the 10 weeks, but kind of what led you to bring your sabbatical to us, and even just identifying Psalm 23 as a great starting place.
Well, I did look at the one another's. I just shared before, I caught up on most of the messages, which were unbelievable, amazing messages from so many different speakers and people that I love. And so that was fantastic. And I did look at, okay, what's left? What are other one another's? Maybe I can just fold into the series and add one. And I was tempted by Kiss One Another. I thought maybe we can tackle Kiss One Another and how to bring that back into, you know, our church. But really, I thought Psalm 23 is such a pastoral psalm. It's such a pastoral word from King David, and it speaks to like the innermost longing of our soul, what we really need. And again, God is our shepherd, the things that he provides. And so Isaiah 40:31 was the verse that I really focused on those 10 weeks, that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And I thought how beautiful that this psalm, especially in these first three verses, are so jam-packed with things that God provides, how he renews our strength. So part of that was I wanted to bring some of sabbatical. I knew I was going to get all the questions. I knew also that there was no way for me to give all that God taught me because I'm very much still in process. So one of the things that I thought of was, boy, I'm going to walk back in and people are going to think, okay, he went to the mountain. He heard from God. Give us all the answers. And the truth is if anything, I have more questions now and I'm more aware of my need for God and my need to slow down. And so, you know, the teacher here is our shepherd, God, and how he provides all that we need. So that's why we are there now.
Yeah, well, and I think you talked about this on Sunday, but just even the timing of summer, and
right.
I know
yes.
usually a different pace, and yet at the same time, it can be super busy wanting a vacation or needing a vacation after your vacation, and just a lot of busyness that comes with that. And then you've got school around the corner, so it's just every time is a busy time, but especially I feel like in this season, it's
a season of transition.
Yeah. Yeah. Scarlett, I know we'll get into kind of, Jose, you had kind of five different words that we drew out of this, but I'd love to hear your thoughts just kind of on that concept of seeking rest in the midst of a busy season and why that's important.
Yeah, I mean, I think, of course, we all need that, and it's so refreshing. I know that I get to find pockets of that during the summer, and it really helps launch me into what is about to be a very, very busy season for us. And so, yeah, I was telling Jose just a minute ago, I'm kind of like a train. I'm hard to slow down, but once I do, it's so good, and I'm so glad I do it.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, let's get into these. Jose, the first part here, and we kind of go verse by verse for the first three verses, looking at different attributes of rest. And the first is purpose out of Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I thought this was interesting because I have read this passage before, but just this idea of finding purpose in contentment instead of in performance, achievement. I'll just go first and speak for myself. This is so hard to do because I feel good when I get things done. And yet, how do we as believers shift into this mindset of finding purpose in contentment?
I think a lot of it has to do with satisfaction. So when have you felt satisfied? When have you truly said, I shall not want? And I didn't say this on Sunday, but another very important scripture that talks about this is God in the creation narrative in Genesis 1, when he creates everything in 6 days, and then he says, he looks back and says, it is very good. and then he rests. So he's satisfied and says it's very good before he rests. And obviously, God is giving us the purpose of creation. He creates everything. He creates us to take care of his creation. And here for us, the question is, are we aligning our lives with God's purpose? Or are we out there trying to create purpose for our lives? And in my life, when I am in that mode, busy, trying to, please people, trying to just get the tasks done, I tend to sideline God, what God may want to actually teach me and do through me in seasons. So looking at God for purpose is huge.
Scarlett, what would you add to that?
I mean, I think about, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And I find that when I don't choose to be with Jesus every day, that I get further and further away, I'm more discontent, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just such a good reminder to pause and to be anchored to him, because when we're anchored to him, we do find contentment and we do see that we lack nothing.
Yeah. I think for me, so much of it comes into where I think of, I think of myself as the shepherd. So instead of God being the shepherd, it's up to me. So
right.
It's all on me, the burden, the weight. And so the hamster wheel of just, I got to go, because I don't know what's going to happen if I stop or I can't stop or inadequacy, all these things kind of come to mind with that, which plays into the second part here of the verse where it says, he makes me lie down in green pasture. So not only is there our shepherd, but there's a protection aspect of us with that. And I would just love to share or kind of to ask y'all kind of, when have y'all seen, God's protection? What does that look like practically? Because I think of sometimes people may be in a season where they're listening and they're like, I don't see his protection. I don't feel his protection. So how are maybe moments when you're in that season, how do you look for that? How do you notice that and remind yourself of that protection?
It's tough. We're going to go into this in these next few chapters because it gets stark in Psalms 23, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, preparing a table in the midst of our enemies. I mean, this is the contrast. And here what he's saying is that he's with us in those times. That's his protection, it's his presence. And so knowing that God is with me may not change the circumstance. It may not heal that sickness. It may not give us a way out. But what he does give us is his presence, and that's the protection that a shepherd provides the sheep. And then ultimately, we know that we're going to be okay, no matter what happens this side of heaven. We're going to be okay. I'm looking at someone here that I look up to when it comes to God's protection, because Scarlett, I've seen you lean on God's protection so many times. And you do that so, so well in the midst of dark times.
Well, thank you. I currently am reading the Bible in its entirety, and it's been a very slow process, but something about it is, when you read and see the full picture of God's love and his purpose and his plan, you're able to receive his protection, his love, and trust him. And because he does have a plan, he is in control. And so when we really believe that and wrap our mind around it as best as we can, there is rest, and we can enjoy all the things that God has to offer us. And so it's really helped me to see the big picture in my own life, like, hey, I can't see what's before me, but God does.
Yeah.
And there's rest in that. And so, it's been really good.
Yeah, that's so good. I would love to ask y'all both as parents, how do you even deal with this on the parent side? Because in some aspect, you're called to be that shepherd and protect your kids. But then whether it's in the season of life or just even in certain circumstances, you have to give that to God and understand that he's the true shepherd. So how as parents have y'all wrestled with that, learned from that? And how could you encourage those listening that are in that same boat?
I'm excited to hear what our kids pastor has to say about this. I think for me, it's teaching my kids that, yeah, I'm there to protect them, but God will always be there even when I'm not. So, for me and the age of, kids that we have, it's often, hey, dad, I'm having bad thoughts. I can't go to sleep. Hey, dad, I'm scared about this, this or that. And I may be, leaving, going out the door, or, hey, you're not going to sleep in my bed. You're going to sleep in your bed. But I do want you to know that God is with you. Mm-hmm. God is there to protect you. So teaching them that God is ever present, that God is their perfect heavenly father, and that I'm a representative of that, but I'm not a substitute for him.
Yeah, and we're entering a brand new season of life. Our oldest has just graduated high school and about to go to college. And I truly feel like someone is ripping the Band-Aid off of me. And I have to just release.
We're here for you.
And trust like I've never had to before. And I've gotten a lot of prayer this summer. Thankful for our prayer pastor, Rhonda, who's really given me good counsel and helped me with this process. But two things she said to me that has really brought me a lot of peace is that I have to trust Jesus inside of my daughter, that He is with her. And you know, of course, we hear it again and again that Jesus loves her more than I do, but also that He's going to take care of her beyond my years. And there's something about that, that it's just not about me. And so, yeah, I'm having to trust like never before. And it's all brand new and it is quite a process, but I'm not the first one to go through it. So definitely leaning on those who've done it before and just choosing to trust Him fully.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yes, so good. Okay, if we continue through this passage in Psalm 23, this next kind of part of the verse, verse 2, says, He leads me beside quiet waters. And the word, Jose, that you kind of called out in this is pace. And just we've looked at purpose, protection, now pace here. For someone listening, how can we tell are we at a good pace? Are we at too fast? Are we too slow? I feel like that's such a relative thing. So just maybe what are some warning signs that y'all have noticed when you're kind of maybe the train is a little too slow, the train's a little too fast, kind of how do you kind of navigate that just on a day-to-day?
Yeah, I think the best thing that I have done is I have a day of rest, just like God calls us to do. And it's kind of taken me years to organize my schedule so that I could have that. But it truly does exactly what God calls it to do. And even yesterday, Monday is my day of rest, and I just sat on the couch and I truly rested. But today I woke up refreshed and ready to go. And so I think that is an area that we can be obedient in. And when we are, God truly blesses that. And then I think we have just flat out busy seasons that we can't do a lot about. But I think we do have to be responsible in saying our best yes. And not saying yes out of obligation too, I think is also important.
Yeah, that's really good, Scarlett. I love that train analogy because it is hard to stop a train, and then it's also hard to, you know, get that train to get going. And so it takes a long time for a train to go. And that can be very frustrating if you're a car at an intersection, you know, when that train is just going, you know what I'm talking about in San Marcos, when you're not dealing with a train going full speed, it's just getting going. You're like, this is going to take forever. And sometimes it's okay for things to take forever, because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force the horse to drink. And it's the same thing for us. God's given us this beautiful principle of Sabbath from the beginning. He modeled it. I mentioned it earlier in the Genesis, and you know, first chapter of Genesis. I mean, this is so key, and it ties into something that you said, Scarlett. He wants us to release all of our worries to Him because He's the only one that's in control. Mm-hmm. So then He gives us these still waters to drink from. And I think about John 4, the woman at the well, when Jesus talks to her and says, the waters that I give you, you'll never thirst again. I mean, they will quench your thirst. Of course, that's talking about the longing of our soul, which is this, you know, peace and this rest, which is tied to that's what restores our soul. That's what refreshes our soul. It is an encounter with God. It's really difficult to encounter God when we're really, really busy. I will add this. God can speak through anything. So God can speak in the middle of the storm. God can speak through, you know, incredible busyness. But for to have this consistent pace of being with God and hearing from Him, it does require us to slow down.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, this concept of peace, Jose, just rolling right into this about the first part of verse 3, He refreshes my soul. I was just going to ask both of y'all, just what does that practically look like? Because I think some people, they think, okay, well, you know, if I'm here at church and I'm supposed to refresh my soul, is it just like spending hours reading the Bible? Is it listening to worship music? So how would you say that you have seen God refresh your soul? And then even some of that aspect of kind of the slowing down and resting in God, what does that actually look like? Maybe laying on the couch and spending time just unplugging, but just kind of would love to even demystify that a little bit for some people.
Yeah, I mean, he refreshes my soul. So, of course, time with him, focusing on his word and his truth, worship, all those things. Time of just prayer and almost just kind of laying everything down at his feet refreshes me. Like, I've got all these things on my mind or all these things I'm praying through, and truly just taking those off and giving them to him is incredibly refreshing. And then I think, too, we're all wired differently, so it probably looks different for all of us. Yep. But, you know, I just like to truly sit and not do a whole lot. And that, you know, personally just refreshes me.
Yeah. To that point, when I run, and when I'm not running to, you know, when I'm not running to gain anything, I'm just running. I come back. My mind is renewed. Right, Scarlett?
No, that does not refresh
right?
me. No.
Well.
Not even close.
So that's something that I've realized really does bring refreshment to me. Another thing, too, you will agree with me on this, I'm pretty sure, is people. Being around you know, the right people to just delight in, enjoy their presence, fellowship, like that word, koinonia. We need one another. So there is a time for, you know, monk stage and going out in the wilderness and seeking God out. And some people need that a lot more. And then there's also, we need one another. And I think about a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's A Life Together, that if you tend to be somebody that really loves to be alone, that means that you probably need to work on being refreshed by people, mm-hmm. you know? But if you're somebody like me that is really, really geared towards people, then you probably need to work on being refreshed with God alone in the wilderness kind of thing. And so it's a balance of both, time with God alone, time with people, that for me really, really does refresh my soul. What about you, Taylor?
Yeah, no, I think Sabbath's a big deal, Scarlett. I love how you shared that. And I am continually trying to learn what that looks like, what's helpful, what's not helpful. I remember the first time I did it was on a Saturday, and I just watched college football from 11 to 11 p.m. And I was like, I don't know if that's exactly what I mean. It's pretty restful, but I think God has other ideas. So yeah, no, one of the things that just early, maybe the last few months, I've really tried to do on Saturdays when I'm Sabbathing is not look at my phone till noon. I can't go the whole day, but I just, it even just helps all those fears of like, well, what if someone's calling me, or like, what if I'm needed? Or I just have this desire to always be connected and on call and available. And so just even knowing like, I'm just not gonna look at my phone till noon. And if it's an emergency, if something's on fire, I'll see it in a few hours. But I think that has actually really helped me, because it's more than just, okay, like screen time or, you know, just social media or that kind of thing. For me, it was really just Wi-Fi and internet in general, and just being connected through a phone and being, you know, on call, so to speak. And so that's an area that I've been able to experience just my soul being refreshed, because I guess you could spend that time with God, and he turns out he's available whether Wi-Fi works or not. So it's like just even having that reminder that he's always with me and will always be with me regardless of, you know, what happens, who needs me, who doesn't, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's a big piece here. Okay. And then Jose, as we close up this particular part, we've looked at purpose, protection, pace, peace, and then this last one here is path. Verses 3 here, 3b says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And I just want to ask y'all kind of how this could be a whole series, could be a whole message, but how do you know what path God wants you to be on? So after you've slowed down, after you've spent time with God, maybe there's people listening that are at a fork in a road. Maybe there's a decision that they need to make today or this week. And so they're feeling the pressure of that. And so the idea of God, you know, replenishing their soul and having this peace feels so foreign, because at the end of the day, there's still decisions that need to be made. Right. So how do you know you're on God's path? How do you stay on God's path?
That's good. That's good. There's a specific thing here, and then there's a more broad theme. The specific one is I think of Proverbs 16:9, which says that a man makes his plans, but it's God who directs our steps. So we're still called to make plans. You know, to your point, Scarlett, you know, Emily had to apply for college. You can't just say, oh God, where do you want me to go to college? And then just wait for that. You still have to go through the process, follow the deadlines. Otherwise, you ain't going anywhere. So you have to make plans, but it's a mystery how God directs our steps in the midst of those plans. So as we are walking towards the plans that we've made, he may say, oop, hey, watch this, turn right, turn left, or hey, U-turn, this isn't the right path. So that's the specific one. I think this is speaking more broadly, where the path is the narrow way of following Jesus. And especially in our culture, when it comes to rest to our souls, again, this could be a whole series, but right now there is a gospel out there that says, follow your heart, do whatever you want to do. That should be loved and appreciated and accepted by everyone. And this is not saying that. This is saying that there is a narrow path for us, and it is not for our good, which is what the gospel of the world is saying right now. Hey, do what's best for you. This is actually saying, no, it's for His name's sake. It's for the glory. It's to the glory of God, to glorify our Creator. So in that sense, I would just simply say it's, you know, following Jesus and making sure that we are doing the things that we already know to do. And that's part of following Him as our shepherd.
Yeah, I, as a new wife, I remember this. I found a lot of striving. I think we can strive in this area, strive to find out where God wants us, what we're called to do, what's next, what's the answer, when really the truth is there's so much rest in this. Proverbs 3 says, 5-8, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. There's true rest in trusting Him. He's got it. He's in control. And I am seeing that as I release our oldest into college. Like, I hear her dreaming and I hear her saying what she's going to do. And I just keep praying this over her. Like, okay, she has these plans. She has these ideas. But God, You direct her steps, just like I've seen Him do in my life. And so I just strongly encourage everyone to seek rest in that.
That's so good, y'all. So good. Jose, you want to give us a preview of what to look forward to for next
week? Yeah, this is just prep for the next few verses, because again, this is where things get heavy. And I say prep, that starts with a P. That's one thing that I loved about this message. Is that God spoke in alliteration. I needed that in order to be
powerful.
Back. Very powerful. And I'll pontificate further on Sunday upon Psalms 23. But God has got it. And I think that's what He's teaching us, is that He loves us so much. He is our shepherd. And no matter what the circumstance looks like, He wants to give us what we need, which is rest for our souls.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.